You know that feeling when you're driving and your GPS tells you to turn down some dark, unpaved alleyway
Yeah.
and you just, well, you blindly do it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You just trust the screen.
Right. We have totally outsourced our navigation to algorithms. We trade our own judgment for the convenience of that little blue line.
It's just easier that way, honestly.
It is. But what happens when we start outsourcing the actual air we breathe to that same kind of artificial intelligence? Because right now, there is a massive shift happening in how buildings operate.
Oh, really massive shift.
And we have a stack of research today for this deep dive that gets into a new mathematical framework doing exactly that. And crucially, it claims to know exactly when the machine is going to fail you.
Which is a terrifying thought if you don't actually understand the guardrails they're putting in place. I mean, we are so used to AI generating text or, writing code.
Right, the digital stuff.
Exactly. But applying machine learning to the physical environments where we spend 90% of our lives, like our offices, our hospitals, our schools, that requires an entirely different level of scrutiny.
I am so glad you're joining us today to help break this down, because this deep dive is basically going to act as a shortcut for you, the listener, to understand this whole shift.
It's a lot to unpack.
It really is. So our focus today is a highly specialized document developed by the Indoor Health Council. It's called the GAIN Consulting Model.
And the mission here is to unpack how this system tries to perfectly balance human wisdom with artificial intelligence, specifically to manage those invisible indoor environments around you.
Okay, let's unpack this. We all know AI is incredibly smart, obviously. But how do we know exactly when to trust it and when we absolutely need a human being to step in and take the wheel?
Well, the INDEX Indoor Health Council answers that with the GAIN acronym. That stands for Guided Artificial Intelligence Needs.
Guided artificial intelligence needs. Okay.
Yeah, think of it as a 1 to 10 scale. It measures the precise balance of AI versus human intervention needed for literally any given task.
So how does the math actually work on that?
It's an inverse relationship. So a higher GAIN score actually means there is a lower need for human assistance.
Oh, okay. So the algorithm is trusted to do the heavy lifting at a high number.
Right. And a lower GAIN score means the situation is just too volatile or complex. You need a much greater level of human intervention to ensure things don't go off the rails.
So it's almost like the levels of autonomous driving in a car.
That's a great way to look at it.
Like a one on the GAIN scale is me gripping the steering wheel with white knuckles in the middle of a blizzard,
Great.
making every single micro adjustment myself.
Yeah, exactly. And a 10 is you taking a nap in the back seat while the car drives itself across the country.
Okay, I buy the 1 to 10 scale for something like driving a car, where the physics are, pretty straightforward. But applying this to complex data analysis, especially something as invisible as air quality, that feels like a massive leap.
It is a big leap.
So give me a concrete example. What does a 5 actually look like in practice?
Let's ground this in a real-world scenario straight from the framework. Imagine you're trying to manage sudden indoor air quality complaints in a commercial office building.
Like employees getting headaches, that sort of thing.
Exactly. People are feeling sick. A GAIN score of 5 or 6 means you are using a large language model, they specifically mention using Google Gemini, to quickly summarize all the documented sources of indoor air quality issues that match those exact symptoms.
Wait, so at a 5, I'm basically just using the AI as an overly expensive search engine. It prints a report, and I still have to do all the physical work.
Well, I mean, it's much more than a search engine. It's synthesizing complex building science into a manageable brief for you.
Okay, that's fair.
But yes, the key is that it stops there. You then take that AI-generated synthesis and combine it with rigorous human mechanics.
What does that mean, human mechanics?
A human professional takes physical air samples in the space. They look at the real-time sensor data, and most importantly, they conduct a physical on-site inspection.
Because an AI can't exactly walk around with a flashlight.
Right, an AI cannot look behind a drywall panel to spot a slow water leak that's generating hidden mold.
Right.
The human and the AI are true partners in that 5 or 6 scenario.
So the AI drafts the map of possibilities, but the human actually walks the territory to confirm what is real.
Exactly.
I can see why that's a 5, but how do we push it higher? Like, if I want a 7 or an 8, what do I actually have to surrender to the machine?
You have to introduce automation and direct data feeds.
Okay.
Once a building is equipped with dynamic real-time sensors that feed their data directly into the algorithmic model, and crucially, the AI is given specific automated control over the building's air handling systems, then its GAIN index rises to an 8.
Well, wait, so at an 8, it's not just reading data and suggesting a fix to a human?
No, it acts on it.
So it senses a spike in carbon dioxide in a conference room, and it just automatically opens specific tampers to flush the room with outside air, all without asking permission.
Yep. It is steering the car, to use your analogy. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, this entire GAIN framework is fundamentally designed to bridge the gap between digital processing power and human intuition.
Giving us the best of both worlds, basically.
Exactly. It forces us to see AI as a highly capable tool while simultaneously reinforcing the absolute undeniable need for human experience.
Okay, that makes sense for the scale itself. But this brings up a massive question for me about the source material.
Sure. What is it?
Of all the industries to test this framework on, why is the Index Council applying it to the air we breathe? Air is invisible. It's everywhere. It constantly mixes. Why use this specific framework for the air conditioning in my office?
Because indoor air is an incredibly complex, highly localized puzzle. We are talking about indoor environmental quality, or IEQ.
And the stakes are pretty high there.
Very high. The stakes here involve vast amounts of high-risk data. We're not just talking about whether you feel a little too warm at your desk. We're talking about human health.
Right.
Think about the particulates you inhale. Things like PM2.5, which is particulate matter 30 times smaller than a single strand of human hair. Or consider volatile organic compounds, VOCs.
That's the chemical smell, right?
Yes. It's the invisible chemical off-gassing from fresh paint, new carpets, or even just regular cleaning supplies.
So you really need to get this right.
You do. Relying purely on a black box AI where data goes in and a ventilation command comes out, but we don't know the math that used to get there, is incredibly dangerous.
Because the consequences are physical and completely invisible to the naked eye.
Right. Exposures are entirely unique to the specific facility, the geographic location, and the specific activities happening indoors at any given moment.
Hold on. Let me push back on that. If the air in a building is so hyper unique and localized, how can an AI possibly judge an entire skyscraper at once?
That is the exact problem they're trying to solve.
Think about your own office layout. The air quality in the enclosed printing room where you make copies is completely different from the air in the open boardroom with the massive windows. If the AI just averages them out, you're getting a completely false sense of security.
The framework completely agrees with you, which is exactly why it introduces the Love Index to prevent that dangerous averaging.
Ah, the Love Index. Localized verified exposure. I saw that in the notes, but you need to break that down for me.
So the Love Index dictates that you can never treat a massive 40-story building as one homogeneous unit.
Makes sense.
You must conduct specialized human-validated analysis of specific isolated zones. So you analyze a single chemistry classroom entirely independently from the library down the hall.
Right, because the chemicals in the lab are totally different from the dust in the library.
Exactly. You evaluate the surgical burn unit entirely separately from the hospital cafeteria. The Love Index forces the AI and the human operators to look at the localized reality of the exposure.
So it stops the algorithm from hiding dangerous microenvironments inside a falsely positive building-wide average.
Yes, that's exactly what it does.
Okay, that makes perfect logical sense. You wouldn't treat a burn unit the same way you treat a lobby. But honestly, this brings up a huge contradiction for me.
Oh. What's that?
Well, if indoor air is so hyper-localized and it requires all this human validation through the Love Index anyway, what is the AI actually bringing to the table? Why are we even using it?
That's a fair question.
Why not just use human building scientists for everything if they have to verify it all anyway?
Well, simply put, because human beings need to sleep. And the sheer volume of data involved in modern building science is entirely crushing.
I guess there are a lot of studies out there.
A massive amount. This is where digital intelligence absolutely dominates, specifically in two areas. The first is data aggregation.
Okay.
Imagine trying to stay up to date on every single scientific study published globally about air quality. You simply can't. But an AI can instantly ingest thousands of disparate, highly technical studies.
But it's not just reading PDFs like a digital filing cabinet, right?
Yeah.
What is the actual mechanism there?
It's extracting raw data points and tracking constantly shifting safety thresholds. You see, the science on microscopic threats evolves really rapidly.
Right.
And human scientists often study these in isolation. A human paper might tell you the safe limit for a specific VOC. Another paper tells you the safe limit for indoor humidity.
But they don't always talk to each other.
Exactly. But the AI can simulate the chemical reactions when the VOCs from a specific brand of carpet glue mix with an unexpected spike in relative humidity in real time.
Wait, really? It can model them mixing together?
Yes. creating an entirely new threat profile that no single CDC paper has even covered yet.
Wow. Here's where it gets really interesting for me. That moves us past just reading data into actual pattern recognition.
Yes, precisely.
It's like having a detective who can instantly read a million case files. The AI is identifying correlations that human scientists would completely miss because the data points are just too far apart in time or space.
That is exactly what it's doing.
It reminds me of a master sommelier who takes one sip of a highly blended wine and can instantly tell you the exact soil composition of the specific vineyard where one single grape was grown 10 years ago. It unblends the data.
That is a brilliant way to conceptualize it. The AI can track the exact off-gassing lifespan of certain flooring materials.
Meaning how long those new carpets release invisible chemicals into the air.
Right. And then the AI correlates that specific off-gassing timeline to highly specific minor health outcomes in the building's occupants over a period of 5 or 10 years.
That's wild. A human mind simply cannot hold that many variables at once over that long of a time horizon.
It's a true superpower. And it can also handle the synthesis, generating the actual paperwork.
Like drafting the initial safety guides based on the very latest 2026 indoor standards.
Exactly. It does the heavy lifting of pulling the raw data into a readable format. It drafts the protocol.
But finding a mathematical pattern in flooring materials and drafting a protocol isn't the same as making a safe, practical decision for a kindergarten classroom.
No, it's not.
Because math doesn't always translate perfectly to the messy real world. Which brings us to the human counterweight. We need someone to, you know, tap the brakes.
We do. And the GAIN model identifies three areas where human intelligence is utterly irreplaceable. The algorithm cannot function safely without them.
Okay, what's the first one?
First and foremost is what the framework calls the sanity check.
I feel like we need a sanity check in just about every aspect of life right now. What is the actual mechanism of a sanity check in this framework?
It means that credentialed human experts, specifically toxicologists and building scientists, must manually review the AI-generated pathways.
So they're double-checking the math.
More than that, they are there to ensure that the AI's recommendations actually align with operational reality, not just mathematical probability.
Right.
The AI might find a technically efficient way to filter the air, but the human expert has to verify that the method doesn't inadvertently introduce a secondary hazard. Like maybe the fan it wants to use creates excessive noise that makes the classroom completely unusable.
I see. That leads right into the second critical area. Contextual nuance. Give me a concrete example of that. Why does mathematical probability fail so hard when it hits the real world?
Okay, let's look at the scenario of a public school district. The AI analyzes all the sensor data and suggests a mathematically optimal ventilation program.
Sounds good so far.
It dictates that the HVAC system must pull in 100% outside air and run at maximum capacity for 2 hours before the students arrive at 7 a.m.
Which sounds great on paper. You flush the building with pure, fresh air before anyone even walks in the door.
Mathematically, it is flawless. But a human facility manager understands the contextual nuance. That human knows that the local utility company charges exorbitant peak demand rates before 7 a.m.
Oh, wow. Budgets.
Right. And the school district recently has a strict energy conservation policy. If they run the system the exact way the AI demands, it will bankrupt the school's energy budget in a single month.
Ah, the AI doesn't read the local school board meeting minutes.
Yeah.
And it definitely doesn't read the utility contracts. It just optimizes the math for the air.
Exactly. The human understands how a localized economic policy fundamentally alters how that ventilation program can actually be applied in the real world. You have to balance the ideal with the possible.
That is fascinating. Okay, so we have the sanity check. We have contextual nuance. What is the third area where humans are required? The notes mentioned ethical oversight.
Yes, ethical oversight is crucial.
But how would an air quality index accidentally disadvantage someone? I mean, I would think clean air is a pretty universal standard.
It becomes an ethical issue through something called digital redlining.
Digital redlining.
Yeah. Think about how the AI gets to an 8 on the GAIN scale. It relies heavily on constant, real-time data from dynamic sensors spread throughout a building.
Right. The AI needs a live data feed to steer the car.
But those high-end dynamic sensors are incredibly expensive to purchase, install, and maintain.
I see where this is going.
Right. If the algorithm is programmed to determine that a building can only be certified as safe or optimized, if it has $50,000 worth of constant sensor data flowing in...
What happens to the buildings that can't afford them?
Exactly.
Lower-income school districts or underfunded rural hospitals just fail by default. The AI unintentionally creates a two-tiered system of health based purely on hardware budgets.
Precisely. The AI isn't malicious, it's just blind to socioeconomic reality. It operates on the logic of no sensor data equals no passing grade.
So a human has to step in.
A human must be in the loop to recognize that ethical failure. A human has to adjust the gain model accordingly.
How do they do that?
Perhaps by relying heavily on manual periodic air sampling for that specific facility, they intentionally push the gain score down to a 4 or 5 to ensure that underfunded buildings aren't digitally redlined out of a clean bill of health.
The machine lacks empathy. It lacks the ability to bend a rigid rule for a valid human reason. So, what is the ultimate goal of the Indexed Indoor Health Council with all of this structure?
Their ultimate objective is to maintain total, unquestioned authority over the scientific integrity of the final output.
So the human is always the boss.
They view AI strictly as a tool, never the author. It's about taking raw, chaotic sensor data from the environment, running it through the incredible processing power of an AI, but filtering it through human sanity checks and ethical oversight to turn it into verified content.
Content that genuinely benefits practical facility management and public health,
right,
rather than just solving a math equation in a vacuum.
Exactly.
So what does this all mean? Let's recap this journey for you, the listener. The GAIN framework is a brilliant way to stop seeing artificial intelligence as an all-or-nothing proposition.
It really is a paradigm shift.
We don't have to choose between a stubborn rejection of technology or a total blind surrender to it. Instead, it is a sliding scale of trust.
Right.
Whether we are dealing with a highly localized love index for a single hospital wing or just using a language model to figure out why your home office feels so stuffy in the afternoon, we must intentionally design systems where humans guide the logic. We have to keep the AI grounded in operational reality.
And what's really fascinating here is that the framework explicitly states this GAIN model has deep applications to almost all fields of human endeavor. It extends far beyond just indoor air quality.
The document mentions healthcare specifically, right?
Yes, it does. In medicine, no matter how profoundly capable an AI becomes at diagnosing an MRI scan or aggregating complex oncology research, we would likely never want AI to completely replace the human doctor.
The human counterweight is a permanent necessity there.
Exactly. The contextual nuance of a patient's personal life, the ethical oversight of their treatment plan, that requires a human heartbeat. The GAIN score in a hospital room might never comfortably reach a 10. And honestly, it shouldn't.
And that leads to a really interesting realization. If this GAIN concept can apply to almost any field, it makes me wonder about the information you and I consume every single day. We are constantly interacting with algorithms, constantly outsourcing our choices.
Every single time you open a feed, from the news algorithms curate for you to the automated financial advice you rely on for your investments.
So if you had a personal GAIN scale for how you live your own life, what is your current score? Are you running your daily life at a 9?
That's a great question to ask yourself.
Are you letting algorithms feed you raw, unverified data and making life decisions on total autopilot?
It really raises an important question about how much autonomy we are willing to hand over just for the sake of convenience.
After learning about the crucial importance of the sanity check and seeing the real dangers of algorithmic blindness like digital redlining, is it time to manually dial your own GAIN score back down to a 5 and keep yourself grounded in reality? Something to think about the next time you ask an AI for an answer, or the next time you blindly follow that little blue line on your GPS right into a dark alley. Keep your hands on the steering wheel. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.